Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
When the Turkish government says there was no genocide of Armenians, we have to set them straight.
I tell you this, some of the things that are harmful to our troops relate to values. Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, torture, all of those issues about who we are as a country.
What if it says, you're not going to be able to use our airspace anymore, or you're not going to be able to use our country to get critical supplies to the men and women who are fighting in Iraq?
Well, with all due respect to the Turkish government, the Turkish-American relationship is infinitely more valuable to Turkey than it is to the United States. The Turkish government will not act against the United States because that would be against their own interests. I'm convinced of this.
Well, you're convinced of that. You're a real bright boy. A real bright boy. You know what we're talking about? Pelosi and her gang have provoked Turkey into lining up their weaponry and their troops to invade northern Iraq to fight off the Kurdish rebellion. And it has all been provoked by Nancy Pelosi and Tom Lantos, two of the stupidest people who have ever invaded the political landscape. You know, I am a partisan. I'm a partisan conservative. I admit it. But I'm also a critic of the Bush administration. I have been for many years now, like since 2000. Okay? I voted for George Bush twice. Don't get me wrong. But there's no harsher critic from a positive point of view than me of the Bush administration, because he is not a conservative by any means. However, if you analyze the ratings in Nevada itself, let's go down to the state of Nevada. Let's look at the people in Nevada. Reid has a lower rating than George Bush in his own home state of Nevada. What does that tell you about the incompetence of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid? Here they are provoking an invasion of northern Iraq, cutting off of fuel and supplies to our troops in Iraq, because of a stupid condemnation of what the Ottoman Turks, i.e. the Muslim Turks, did 90 years ago. I love you, Reid. Ottoman Turk, Ottoman Turk. Of course, most of the people in journalism who write Ottoman Turk don't even know what Ottoman means. They think it's something you put your feet on. They were not the Turks who created hassocks. They were bloodthirsty, brutal, dictatorial murderers. They slaughtered over 1.2 million Armenians. They slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Greeks and other Christians. That is true. However, this is not the time to rub the nose of the moderate Turkey in the salt of this ancient wound. Do you understand that? I knew you wouldn't talk about it. And the reason you won't talk about it is because you're not prepared to, and that's okay. I am prepared to talk about it. Top left lead story on MichaelSavage.com, and it's a big story, exclusive to this program from Canada Free Press by Judy McLeod. San Francisco Archbishop and his drag queen problem. You have to read the story. Now, let's start from the beginning. The article first appeared on another website, and I linked it up to my website, MichaelSavage.com, last week, showing you beyond a reasonable doubt that the Archbishop in San Francisco was not hoodwinked by the gay community, but he, in fact, is part and parcel of this radical homosexual community. And you have to read the whole article. Archbishop George Niederer last week gave communion to two members of the so-called Sisters of Public Indulgence, who are radical homosexuals dressing up in drag as Catholic nuns. Now, the sad part here is that they hoodwinked, and they've hoodwinked many people into thinking it was an accident on the part of this archbishop. According to this article, and I don't enjoy this. I want to tell you this. I don't enjoy this, but I have to read you this article about Bill O'Reilly. It says that Bill O'Reilly, in his talking points, says the fault here lies with the leadership of San Francisco. He blames it on Mayor Newsom. He says that the archbishop is an elderly man who was taken by surprise. And then he goes on to say that these people, like the mayor of San Francisco, attack him, meaning the leprechaun. He then goes on to say the leprechaun, quote, incredibly, the San Francisco media has blacked out this story, refused to report it with the exception of KNEW Radio, close quote. Though he didn't mention his name, the leprechaun must have meant Michael Savage, as Savage Nation had this story about the gay activists and the drag queens on michaelsavage.com, the first in the Bay Area. I don't want to talk about O'Reilly anymore. We know who he is. And it's sad for me to have to do this because he is not the worst problem in your life nor in mine. We have bigger problems than Bill O'Reilly. But why should Bill O'Reilly apologize for the 71-year-old archbishop, say that he was an elderly man who was taken by surprise when he gave communion to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence? Why is he taking the side of this archbishop? If you want to find out who the archbishop really is, okay, then you better read this article, because I'm not going to read you the whole article. It's a very important story. This archbishop has been embedded with the homosexual mafia for many decades right now. Would you like me to read you the whole story? Because the man is clearly a front man for the homosexual mafia. He goes all the way back to 1986. This archbishop was a political activist for the gay cause going back at least until then. Do you know where he was ordained? He is a prominent member of what some Catholic writers have dubbed the Camarillo Mafia, a group of liberal and dissident prelates who graduated from and taught at St. John's Seminary in Camarillo, California, and who were ordained in Los Angeles in the 1950s and 60s. Now, why is that important? Because the trail of abuse in the Los Angeles Archdiocese and its surrounding area dioceses leads inevitably to St. John's. According to the LA Times, 10% of St. John's ordinands for Los Angeles from 1950 to 65 have been accused of molesting children. In two classes, 66 and 72, a third of the graduates were later accused of molestation. This very same archbishop is a longtime political activist in the gay cause. In 1986, this archbishop, Niederauer, wrote a letter to an Orange County judge asking that a priest convicted of 26 counts of felony child sexual abuse be spared prison time. He wrote that the boys involved might have mistaken horseplay for molestation. Niederauer, the archbishop of today, later admitted that the letter had been a mistake. In 1996, when he was bishop of Salt Lake City, he helped form a coalition of religious leaders opposing the ban on high school gay-straight alliances proposed by the Utah legislature. In 2002, the very same Niederauer told the National Catholic Register, "What I don't want is some kind of link between being homosexual and being a molester of minors," close quote. This goes on, and I could give you more about it. He's a 71-year-old archbishop in San Francisco. He is a front man for the gay homosexual mafia. And I am shocked and surprised that a man as conniving as the leprechaun would be taken in by him and think he was set up simply by accident. He goes back a long way, Bill, and you should know better. And just because he's a member of your particular religion does not mean you should give him a pass. You should have the guts to stand up to anybody in your religion who does this to your church, in my opinion. Read the whole story. It's a shocking story. It's a shocking story. And this archbishop is a disgrace to the Catholic people. But this is San Francisco to a T. The fact of the matter is the Catholic community in the Foggy City deserves better. And just because he's an archbishop does not put him above the laws of his own church, is the opinion of many people who have studied this man. Read the story, share it with fellow Catholics, and see what you think. Now on to the biggest story, which is Pelosi provokes Turkey into invading Iraq, and that labeling genocide will not halt it, and rubbing Turkey's nose in acts of abominable horror conducted 90 years ago is not going to help us. It's going to hurt our troops. The most important story was just dropped from my website, of course, because, as you know, I have a webmaster who is sometimes here and sometimes there, but there goes the story I was going to refer to. It disappeared completely. What do you think? Is this a story for you? The story of Turkey? Do you know anything about it? Is it an important story? Do you think it's an important story that Nancy Pelosi and the gang that couldn't shoot straight would be willing to undermine our troops, cutting off their fuel and water and supplies, 70% of which come through Turkey, driven by Turkish truck drivers, in order to embarrass George Bush under the guise of being humanitarians? Don't you think this is a major league story that they're going to pass the Armenian Genocide Resolution at a time like this? Doesn't it tell you that they themselves are disconnected from the realities of the times, yes or no? Or do you want to talk about Ottomans? Would you like to talk about hassocks? When you hear the word Ottoman Turk, you should remember what they're referring to. Because the reason the media says Ottoman Turk instead of Muslim is because of political insanity, where day by day Sharia is being noosed around your neck and made tighter and tighter and tighter until eventually you wind up on your hands and knees praying to Mecca, or at least your children will, as the iPod plugs are in their ears. They won't even know what happened to them. That's because you were too busy seeing who was on first instead of who was on your head. 1-800-449-8255, Doug, WOR, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I want to say I've been a devoted listener for 2 years, and I'm an evangelical pastor. I consider you in the category of the prophet Jeremiah. You're a weeping prophet like Jeremiah was. You tell people what they don't want to hear, but they need to hear it. And I want to say there's so many of us out here. A lot of people in my congregation listen to you. We think you're great, okay?
That's nice to hear. I'm glad somebody likes me.
We pray for you. We ask God to help you because we need.
Let me tell you something. Look, I'm going to relate to that. I'm not going to blow it off. I've said it to many Catholic listeners over the years when they call and tell me they light candles for me. I think it has a big effect to the big guy in the sky.
I'm calling tonight, and I'm a little nervous about this, but the statement you made on Armenia, I have to tell you, you know, you describe people who are Bush bots, and I haven't been a Bush bot. I've been kind of discouraged by the president for quite a while, but I pray for him, too. But the statement mm-hmm. that he made on Armenia and the Turks last week, I'm a student of the Armenian genocide. The word genocide was invented to describe what the Turks did to a million and a half people. And I've
exactly.
spent a number of years working with Greeks whose parents suffered so horribly in Asia Minor.
Okay, Doug, you're a very important caller because you know what you're talking about. I want to pause for a minute. When we say Ottoman Turks, we are referring to a radical Islamic government in Turkey at that time. Is that correct? Let's define our terms.
Yes. I read that
1.2 to 1.5 million Armenians were slaughtered. And here's how it was done, for those of you who think that the word slaughter has lost its meaning. Every male was rounded up and shot dead on the spot, and the Armenian women and children were taken out into the desert and left to die. Can you confirm or deny that that's a fact of reality?
The lucky ones were marched into the desert. Do you know that they crucified Christian women? And they didn't crucify them the normal way. They put the torture stake through their bodies. And that's how they executed countless people. And they didn't spare women. In some places in the Greek Isles that bore the brunt of Ottoman rule, they never buried the remains of the children that were slaughtered. You can go into churches and see cabinets full of skulls with slash marks in them of little tiny children. There's no justification for doing something like that.
And this was done by the Muslims 90 years ago from Turkey. And we all acknowledge it, those of us who are educated and sensitive to what the word genocide is, acknowledge this happened. But having said that, don't you agree with me that Nancy Pelosi and her gang of Democrats trying to rub the current Turkish government's nose in this old act of genocide right now really has little to do with wanting to set the record straight on genocide? What they really want to do is make sure that our fighting men in Iraq are denied food and ammunition. Isn't that what they're really trying to do, is a sneak attack on our own troops?
If that's the case, Michael, I think what you're saying right now is frightening.
Well, listen, I'm the only one who sees this for what it is. Pelosi and Lantos have been trying to stop the war for years. They can't get the votes. They don't have the guts to go to the American people to do it. So they're doing it in a classic left-wing manner, which is do it through the subtext. Do it in a sub-manner that no one even knows what you're doing. But I can see right through this. The reason they're trying to provoke Turkey, which they've done, is to have Turkey finally say, you can't run your supplies through our country anymore, and our troops will be cut off of fuel and ammunition. I'll be right back. Savage. Let me explain something. The reason this show survives is because of insights like this. Nobody in the electronic media, so far as I know, has either written, that I know of, or stated, either on radio or television, that Pelosi's backing of a resolution against Turkey on the genocide, blah, 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 the Armenians, is really a backdoor attack upon our troops. I would rank myself with anybody in the American media and anyone in American politics with regard to understanding world politics, period. I've always been 100% right on my analysis of international events. And this goes way back to the first Gulf War when George Bush Sr. invaded Iraq and stopped short of taking Baghdad and knocking out the Republican Guard. I went on record, in fact, it was in front of a radio, you know, convention, when I said that Bush Sr. did the right thing. Because the reason he didn't take out Saddam, I said at the time, I'm talking about in the mid to late 90s, was he wanted to leave a weakened Saddam Hussein in power as a counterbalance to Iran. Bush Jr. didn't remember that. He didn't understand Jack. So he knocked out the counterbalance to the Shia in Iran, and now we have a monster on our hands. We've created a monster. Bush Jr. has created a Frankenstein in Shia Iran, linking up with Shia Iraq. His father had advisors who were smarter. Now, I said that in the mid to late 90s. And I'm telling you right now that Pelosi and company are going to set off World War III unless they're stopped from passing this resolution. Strictly, they say, for humanitarian reasons, that's not the reason at all. It's a backdoor attempt to cut off supplies to our troops. It is genocide against our own troops, if you want to know what it is.
Savage.
I'm pretty amazed that I'm getting so many calls on this genocide measure, because I didn't think most of the listeners to radio had heard much about it or would grasp it, although my audience is a bit different. The best op-ed on it was written in the LA Times. It was entitled, Labeling Genocide Won't Halt It. Armenians were murdered, but the current Turkish regime shouldn't be faulted for what happened more than 90 years ago. That's 100% true. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is Pelosi and company doing this now? What are they trying to achieve? Why not wait until a year or 2 years? Why is the liberal wing of the Democrat Party pushing this now? First of all, the genocide of 1915 was not perpetrated by today's Turkish Republic. This would be like passing a new resolution against Miss Merkel in Germany, trying to rub her nose in what Hitler and his henchmen did, and then blowing off another ally if you did that right now. Why would you do that? Or perhaps maybe while they're at it, they can pass a resolution condemning the French Vichy government of the 1940s, thereby making Sarkozy turn his back on us. Then they could cut off even more of the coalition against this Islamo-fascist juggernaut that we're all facing. Why are the Democrats doing this? It has nothing to do with genocide, as far as I can tell. The only reason they're doing it is to provoke Turkey into what they've already done. And that is, they're massing troops and weaponry on the Turkish border to go into northern Iraq and fight the Kurdish separatists, who are living in Turkish territory, by the way. Now, it's an ancient dispute, and I don't want to get involved in the Kurds versus the Turks dispute. However, right now there's a country called Turkey which has borders, language, and culture. And within that landmass of the current Turkey, there exists an ancient land that was once occupied by the Kurds. The Kurds have incurred into it, and the Turks want them out of there. They don't want a separate Kurdistan created in Turkey, the Turkey of today, would be the same as if the Mexicans sent the military, their military, into Arizona, New Mexico, and Southern California, and said, "This was once Mexico. We're going to invade. We're going to take it back because it's ours." Now, what would you expect the United States to do in that case? Even George Bush might have to use the military to prevent the Mexican invasion of that kind. Well, that's what the Turks are doing. So what's to be gained by doing it now? Answer, 70% of all the supplies that go to our men in Iraq go through Turkey, are driven overland from Turkey. Okay? So what are they trying to achieve, Pelosi, at all? They're trying to achieve a cutoff of fuel, food, ammunition, and other supplies to our fighting men. They're trying to commit a massive genocide against our own troops. That's what they're trying to do. In order to embarrass Bush and get us out of Iraq, they're willing to sacrifice our boys in Iraq. That's exactly what they're doing here. Don't you see this? And that's why I'm talking about it. It's such an important article, because if you see how either ignorant or dangerous or demented our politicians are, you're going to realize what trouble we are really in here. I'm going to take your calls on this. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. You want to read about it, go to michaelsavage.com. There are other stories. SF Archbishop and his drag queen problem, story one. Story two, Massachusetts to legalize sex with robots. It's an amazing story. You got to read that one. Liberal lawyers block search for GI hostage. Unbelievable. Sharia by the inch. Did you know that the New York Empire State Building is going to go green in order to celebrate Allah the greatest? You didn't know that. Political correctness is out of control. There's a story about the disaster of affirmative action. Does affirmative action work? An explosive new study says it does not work. They have analyzed children who were admitted into law schools, children who were not qualified other than by their color, into law schools, generally do not pass the bar and don't become lawyers. So they're saying affirmative action doesn't work. It's being debunked by those who are in the affirmative action industry. Very important story. Here's another one from michaelsavage.com. It's from Long Island. Hispanic illegals overwhelm blue-collar neighborhood, push locals out of schools. They're breaking zoning laws and creating suburban slums. Read it and weep. Underneath that, let's see what else we have for you. Schwarzenegger did the right thing. He vetoed a dream bill for immigrant students. It's not a dream bill. It's a ripoff. Schwarzenegger deserves great credit for it. Terrorists love Sean Penn. They see him as their mouthpiece. Take a look at that story from WorldNet Daily. Let's see what I should point out. That Hitler's globe for sale. Bush is now pushing for Palestinian statehood. The lame duck President Bush, in his desperate attempt to rescue whatever remains of the legacy to be rescued, now wants to see a Palestinian nation. Good luck, Mr. Bush. Good luck, Mr. Bush. Now on to the callers. Frank on WOR, New York City. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike, you were talking about the Ottoman Empire, and I can't believe how wrong you are. I won't say ignorant, but if it was, you said that you're trying to say that because the Muslim religion was in the Ottoman Empire, that it was intolerant and it persecuted people. I want to ask you a question. Who sold Palestine, who sold the land in Palestine to the early Zionist Jews from Europe?
It was I'll answer the first question first and the second question second. You're saying that the Holocaust against the Armenians did not occur?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that was an aberration of the Ottoman Empire.
It was a minor quirk. So, in other words, the killing of 6 million Jews was an aberration of the Hitler Empire?
This had nothing to do with, don't try to mix apples and oranges. Don't.
Wait a minute. You just said that it was a minor quirk. Killing 1.2 million Armenians was a mistake?
I'm saying it was an aberration in their history.
What do you mean by an aberration? What do you mean by an aberration? When they went into Greece, they burned churches to the ground with every man, woman, and child in the church. Was that also an aberration?
Nations were part of the Ottoman Empire, Mike. Egypt?
Say that. Say that again.
What nations were part of the Ottoman Empire?
Well, now you're trying to argue with me over minutiae by avoiding the big picture. The big ticket item here is that there was a Holocaust against the Armenians. You're denying it happened.
You're saying that because they were Muslims, that is what you were saying, Sharia law. Under the Ottoman Empire.
Now you're changing it again. Let's start with what we agree on. Were over 1 million Armenians slaughtered by the Ottoman Turks, yes or no?
I thought you had the right perspective, Mike.
Well, wait, Frank, you're not answering a question. Let's start with what we might agree on. Do you agree with 99% of the educated people on Earth that the Ottoman Turks slaughtered over 1.2 million Armenians, yes or no?
Yes, but it had nothing
So what's the argument? What are you calling so excited about? What, you have a bad day today? What are you arguing with me then?
Why? Because you're trying to say that because they were Muslims, they killed them. The Ottoman Empire...
Hold it. Whoa. So in other words, they crucified Christians because they were what? Because they were Muslim? Are you crazy?
Crucify Christians in Egypt? Did they crucify Christians in Syria? Did they crucify Christians in Lebanon and what is now Iraq? Do you know how big the Ottoman Empire was? You're trying to say that they did it because they were Muslims. They were not...
So we agree that they did crucify Christians, yes?
In Palestine, didn't they?
I asked you again, do we agree that they did crucify Christians? I've gotten you, after wrestling with you, to agree that you accepted over 1 million Armenians were slaughtered by the Ottoman Turks. We agree on that. Now you agree that they did crucify Christians. Is that true or not true?
That you don't know what you're talking about? Yes.
Look, if you want to play masturbatory games, I suggest you look in the mirror, sir, but don't waste my time with this kind of stupidity. You're an ignorant man, and you actually agree with me, but you're just trying to sound smart. What is your senile mother sitting there in a wheelchair listening to you?
I'm stating facts.
Get off my show, you gas bag, you. What are you wasting people's time for? Let's get back to brass tacks. One over a million Armenians were slaughtered mercilessly by the Ottoman Turks who were Muslim. That's A. B, they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Greek Orthodox Christians because they were Christians. They burned whole churches to the ground. Now, let me digress if you don't mind. Many of you had seen a movie years ago, which I recommended. I recommend it tonight. Go rent it. It's called America, America. It was directed by Ilya Kazan. It's actually a great movie to run for your children. And it's an amazing story. It actually brought tears to my eyes when I watched it. And I've watched it many times. I haven't seen it now in 5 years. But it was one of America's great directors, Ilya Kazan, did this. Ilya Kazan starts with the story of a Greek family in around that period of time, 1900, in that era. And the Greeks are ruled by the Ottoman Turks, the Muslims, and their life is miserable, horrible. They have to pay tithings. They're living under oppression. They are total and absolute second or third class citizens in their own country. And in one of the scenes, there's a young man, the protagonist, rather, is a young man. The whole story is about the family seeing the handwriting on the wall. They know they're going to die. Nobody can help them. They raise all their money from the whole family, and they give it to this young man to escape and go to America. The entire story is about this boy coming to America. He gets taken in by somebody on the ship. They rob his money. He has to meet a rich lady and be a little of a gigolo. Anyway, the story goes, by the way, just after he leaves, the Turks come into that village and kill his mother and his father and his sisters and his aunts and his uncles. They burn the church to the ground, and you see the icons, the Christian icons going up in flames. It's an historic fact. So the boy now is, the whole movie, an hour and a half, is his travails and tribulations as he tries to get to America. The last scene is he arrives in the docks in New York, and he kisses the ground of Manhattan and looks up at the Statue of Liberty. Now, that story is the story of my grandfather. It's the story of tens of millions of grandfathers, whether they be Christian or Jewish, from Europe. It went on all over Europe. Many of you don't even know the history of your own family, that your ancestors came here to get away from genocide and oppression of the worst kind, oppression that you can't even imagine, because you think oppression is homophobia. You people are so stupid and so brainwashed, particularly those of you under 40, that you don't even know what true oppression is. That was true oppression. Great movie. Now let's get back to Democrats playing politics with the genocide of the Armenians and how it might cause the genocide of our troops. Okay? Las Vegas. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Okay, next case, gone with the wind. Abram, WOR New York, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. This is all the Democrats playing politics with this issue. 7 years ago, when President Bush ran for presidency, he promised the Armenians that if he gets elected, he was going to put the bill on the Senate and the House floor, and he was going to accept that the genocide did happen, and the United States finally admits it openly. And then two years ago, when for the re-election, because President Bush did not keep his promise, all the Armenians went after Kerry. So we had pamphlets, we had posters and everything saying Armenians for Kerry, because Kerry promised us the same thing. So now they're trying to win our votes for the next election. And this is all it is.
I understand that. So Abram, you are an Armenian, yes or no?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So do you agree that Armenians were murdered, as I've said over and over again? You don't hear me denying it. But why fault the current Turkish regime at this sensitive moment is the whole argument today. Do you think it's a good idea to do that now and rub their noses in what their ancestors did right now?
The timing, there will never be the right timing. I mean, acceptance, a liability that what it happened, they should accept it, but they will never accept it. I always said that in my lifetime I will not see it. But we know for a fact...
But you do agree, Abram, that doing this right now is provoking possibly a war in northern Iraq. Also, they could cut off supplies to our men. The genocide of 1915 was not perpetrated by today's Turkish Republic, established in 1923, but it was perpetrated by the Ottoman Empire, which collapsed at the end of World War I.
Well, correct, but at the same time, I mean, the Jews were genocide, not with the current Germany also.
I understand that, but would you like to see now a resolution condemning Germany all over again and possibly alienating the current German government? And maybe they can close down Ramstein Air Base?
Well, Germany already accepted it, didn't they?
Or I know, but not during a sensitive time when we were at war with another country and flying troops in and out of Germany. You may as well blame the United States for the deportation of Acadians from Nova Scotia during the French and Indian Wars. What's the point of doing this now?
They've been trying to do this every year. Every year, around April 24, they always try to do this. But this time, I was surprised that this came out not in April, because in April 24, it's a day we remember.
Abram, are you aware that 70% of all the air cargo that goes to our U.S. troops passes through Turkish airspace?
Absolutely. Yes, I know that.
Okay, so, I mean, you say there'll never be a right time, but there couldn't be a worse time than right now. That's my point. And Abram, when you leave today, I hope you remember what I said. I hope you don't think I'm one of the Holocaust deniers here, because the history is clear on this. Over 1.2 million Armenians were slaughtered mercilessly by the Ottoman Turks. But I believe this is the absolute worst time to provoke Turkey into this reaction. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. I'm shocked that so many people know about this topic. And I'm also quite surprised, in a way pleasantly surprised, that even Armenian callers understand where I'm coming from, that they're not getting angry at me. Unlike that man before, I didn't even know what he was doing. He just seemed to want to argue. I don't mind arguing if we're actually arguing over a vital point. But to keep twisting a word to just have an argument makes it sound as though I'm at a dinner table with the relatives I left behind. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Look, this is a highly emotional issue to people who lost relatives in the Armenian Holocaust. I understand that. However, I'm shocked at the stupidity of the Democrats. I mean, I understand partisan politics. I never thought it would be reach this point of stupidity and this level of, I don't know what the word for it is, lowness, childishness. There are consequences to this behavior. I don't understand how grown-ups cannot understand that they're playing with fire here, just to make a political point against George Bush, or to win the vote of the Armenian people for Hillary Clinton. Now, if you think that this is simply an issue of Democrats versus Republicans, you're wrong. Because even amongst Democrats, there are some who are shocked by what Pelosi is doing or trying to do with this gang. They're crazy, these people. They're losers. They're nuts. Here's a guy, William Cohen, who, as you well know, I'm not a big fan of, if you remember him. He was a defense secretary under Clinton. He was laughable. He was like a laughable Mr. Rogers kind of guy. Now he's some kind of consultant. God knows who he's working with. But even he came out on CNN today saying this is crazy and that eight former secretaries of state, Democrats and Republicans alike, think this is wrong. Listen to 36.
I have written to her. I've joined with former Secretary of Defense Frank Carlucci and former Secretary of Defense Bill Perry. Again, this is not a partisan issue. If you look at the Secretaries of State from Secretary Albright, Baker, Powell, and others on down the line, eight of them have said this is a mistake to go forward with this. So what we would say is basically what we've said in the letter. There are ways to certainly honor the sacrifices and call attention to the killings that took place, massive killings that took place during that period, 1915 to 1923, but place that in the context of what it means in terms of going forward into the future from today in terms of what it will do to our troops. The consequences are too severe, I think, for this.
Well, there it is. That's a Democrat, William Cohen, who at least, who understands the devastation of such a maneuver at this time. Now, if you want to comment on this, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. Next hour, we'll go on to another topic. Norman, W-O-R, quickly, please, go ahead.
Forgive me if I didn't hear you say that there is a rightful claim to money compensation. Had you mentioned that, Mr. Savage?
No.
Okay. Well, do you consider and do you indeed agree that acknowledgement is simply the basis for asking for rightful compensation and money?
So you're a lawyer who wants to get in on the Armenian Holocaust money? Is that what you're calling about?
Retired firefighter, and I advocate the Ten Commandments. But in the issue, what would you think about my premise?
Your premise is rational, but why now is the issue.
How long will the war go on? I agree with you on the timing, but how long...
Oh, that's all I'm talking about. Why now? The answer is because they want to undercut the war effort. They want to starve our troops of fuel and supplies, and they want to embarrass George Bush so that Hillary Clinton gets elected. Now, that can't be a rational policy. That can't be a policy rationale, can it?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Tell you this, some of the things that are harmful to our troops relate to values. Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, torture, all of those issues about who we are as a country.
If we find that there is something living on another planet and it is bad and it comes over here, what would you do?
Okay, I'm going to tell you that is the first time I've been asked that question.
When the Turkish government says there was no genocide of Armenians, we have to set them straight.
There has been a glaring, unfortunate display of incompetent strategic leadership within our national leaders. As a Japanese proverb says, action without vision is a nightmare. There is no question that America is living a nightmare with no end in sight.
Now play Blue Monday, will you, to set off the tone for this hour. The Blue brother Monday, from another planet.
Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday.
It is the one and only Savage Nation with Uncle Michael Savage. an uncle to millions of Americans, the uncle that you once had, dreamed you had, wished you didn't have, wished you did have, wished still existed. Here I am. And apparently America wants to talk about the resolution the Democrats are passing about the Armenian Holocaust perpetrated by the Ottoman Turks at perhaps the most inopportune time in history, and they're not doing it for the sake of the Armenians. They're not doing it for the sake of setting the record straight, in my opinion. They're doing it strictly for partisan reasons. They're going to trigger a war between Turkey and the Kurds. Worse than that, though, if there could be anything worse, is that when you know 70% of all supplies go through Turkey to our troops, what they're really trying to do is commit an atrocity against our own troops by cutting off food, ammunition, and water. That's what they're really trying to do. In other words, because they can't pass a resolution to get us out of Iraq, they're catering to the crazies amongst their own party, and they're doing it by any means necessary. By all, any means necessary means, in this case, killing our own troops by cutting off supplies and ammunition. Now, we know that politics is pretty foolish. Most of us have lost faith in the political structure for that reason. When it comes down to this level, though, this is more than a joke, more than an embarrassment. We can talk about another topic if you want. There are plenty of topics on michaelsavage.com, which I suggest you go look at. And those are the topics I would like to talk about. I mean, I'll take a few of the calls on Turkey, but we've done a full hour on this now. And I'll continue to take a few more calls on this. However, there are other topics. What do you want to talk about? I'll pick one out of the air. Make believe I'm a teacher in a classroom where people are throwing spitballs. I'm a former teacher, so I know how audiences are. I have an intuition about who you are and what you're thinking about right now. You're restless. You're bored. You're throwing spitballs. You're looking at the girl's hair, not at what's on the blackboard. You're just generally not interested in anything. You don't know what to be interested in. You like the teacher, but you're not interested in the lesson today. It's like, what do you care about Armenia, Shmenia? That's what you're saying. I don't even know who they are. I never met one. I don't know who they are. I don't know why I like them. I don't know. They're not bad. They're not evil. It shouldn't have happened, but I don't know what an Ottoman is. I thought it was a Hasek. What do you mean Ottoman Turk? I thought you meant a Hasek, an Ottoman. Where does it come from? What do I care? What do I know? Football, baseball, pornography. That's what I know. That's what it is. An American moron. There's a show on TV on Showtime called The Brotherhood. I turned it off last night. That's it. Finished. Gone. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, why are they comparing The Brotherhood about the Irish political family structure in Providence, Rhode Island with The Sopranos? I mean, it's like comparing the Alpha and Omega of TV dramas, or if you want to call them operettas. It has no art. This one has no art. It's all dark. Everything's evil. There's no redemption in any of it. You don't like any of the characters. They're flat. They're boring. The dialogue's stilted. Nobody looks right for the role. Does anyone watch the show? Do you know what I'm talking about? The Brotherhood. It's the second season. It's not good. It's just not a good show. The only scenes I liked in this series on Showtime last year was when the wife of the politician would sneak off to a motel with her high school boyfriend in Providence and get high and have sex with him. I thought that was well done. She was like a Stepford wife who couldn't take the pressure of being a political, you know, normal white wife with three little girls in Catholic school outfits. That was somewhat almost believable in the way she's a good actress. Her name is Gish. I don't know if she's a descendant of Lillian Gish, an actress from previous times, but she's really a fabulous actress. The rest are like, I don't know where they got him from. I'm trying to get off the topic. I could see her. You know what this reminds me of? My favorite science teacher of all time is, it actually made me go into science for many years. Seventh grade science, Parsons Junior High School, Queens, New York. SP, skipped a grade. So we move into this brand new junior high school, and man, that I think I was in the promised land. It was all, the bricks were new, the floors were new, the wood smelled new, the varnish smelled new. Everything was clean and beautiful. The teachers even were better. And I was in an advanced class for, you know, smart alecky kids who skipped the grades. So the teachers were better. In those days, they actually had classes for bright kids rather than all the money going for the moron, the dummy, and the troublemaker, which is why it's hard to produce a generation that can think or do anything superb anymore. All the money goes for the troublemaker or the moron today, instead of for the brightest kids who should get all the money, by the way. So anyway, we're in the classroom, science, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what month it was. And we're bored to death not listening to him. This guy fell asleep during the class. Your mind wanders in that 12 years old, 11. Who listens to science? You know, basically you're wandering off unless you're from India taking notes. So I'm asleep. All of a sudden, they hear a crash and a bang in the lockers behind my head in the back of the room. And I look up like from my slumber, from my narcolepsy, and the bright teacher is saying, well, that's an example of what a vacuum can do, boys and girls. And what? What he had done was he took a piece of new kitchenware called Tupperware, which just came on the market. And what he did was he put something inside this plastic container and then opened the top a few times to let the air out, created a vacuum, and threw it against the back locker of the classroom, made a bang and a commotion, and we looked up, and then he explained to us what a vacuum was and what a vacuum could do in a primitive manner. Now, that to me was good teaching. That's what talk radio is. If you want to be a good teacher in talk radio, what you got to do is bang. You got to bang the locker in the back of the room every once in a while in order to keep the attention of the listener. Because, you know, there's a lot of similarity between political talk radio today and classrooms, by the way, of years gone by. So there it is. Now we can move on. Now that I got your attention about a vacuum, I'm in a vacuum. I've created a vacuum. I had you going on the turkey thing, but it was a narrow-banded thing. All right, we'll take the callers. KNEW, San Francisco. John, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I love your show, and I disagree about what you've been saying about Nancy Pelosi. She has been the only Speaker of the House in the last 30 years that had the guts to bring this to the House floor for a congressional vote.
All right, let's pause right there. Let us say that she's doing it for altruistic purposes, which I completely disagree with. What has happened, though, is that Turkey is now taking a step towards invading Iraq. Wouldn't you say there was a political blunder on Nancy's part?
No.
So in other words, it's okay if the Turks go to war with the Kurds, and if they cut off transiting supplies to our troops, that's also okay.
It's not okay, but these are all threats by Turks, and they're just being a bully towards the U.S. Mm-hmm.
Well, oil prices shot up today, partly reflecting concerns over a conflict that could open up a new front in the Iraq war. Light sweet crude oil for November delivery hit a new high of $85 a barrel before retreating, all because of Nancy Pelosi's humanitarianism?
Michael, Nancy Pelosi has promised Americans that she's going to bring this to the House floor. And the Turks have been getting ready for months.
But John, my dear friend listener, didn't you hear what even the Democrat William Cohen has said? Nine previous secretaries of state, including Democrats, say there couldn't be a worse time to rub the current Turkish government's nose in the salt of the past. Why now, though?
Michael, then can you tell me when the right time is, and can we set the date today for the right time to have this genocide resolution go through?
I don't have a time, but today is definitely the wrong time. I wish I could say to you that in 2 years we will be out of Iraq and that would be the right time. I can generically say that when we are out of Iraq and we no longer rely upon the Turkish government to transit supplies to our troops, would be a perfect time for the Democrats to do it. I believe this is an attack on our troops and an attack on Bush more than it is support for the Armenian people, who are rightly upset that the genocide has not yet been properly documented in that sense.
Was it the right time for the German government to recognize the Holocaust, and as recently as 2-3 months ago for the finance minister of Germany, to set aside a few more billion dollars for reparation for the survivors of the Holocaust?
So it's all about money, you're saying?
Excuse me?
Once again, it's all about money. Once again, it's Democrats in cahoots with trial lawyers trying to rip off Turkey right now. That's what it's all about now, the rape of Turkey, simply over money. That's what it is. Again, the greedy lawyers got to Nancy Pelosi, the American trial lawyers who sank their teeth into the Holocaust billions, now want to sink their fangs into the Armenian Holocaust. That's what it is. So it's the lawyers again. Thanks for enlightening me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
the Savage Nation. Many topics. Let's go back to one that we covered last week now, Grand Rapids. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
The issue with this Ann Coulter thing, you know, if Democrats really want her to, you know, kind of go away and vanish from the scene, maybe they should quit appeasing her with such attention.
I gave her a lot of attention last week because her bigotry was sufficient for my attention.
Yeah,
I'm not a Democrat or a liberal. She voiced the very same bigotry that has been had been voiced for over 1,000 years by zealots who kill Jews. Just because she's dressed up in the guise of a sophisticated conservative in her own mind, doesn't mean that what she said was not offensive.
Would it be more powerful to ignore her at all costs, in the hopes that she would disappear?
Well, why ignore her? If she goes on the air and thinks she's so bright and she could say anything, and she says that Jews are unevolved Christians, and she provokes this guy over and over again, why shouldn't we mention it?
Okay,
she's a she's a terrible blight upon the conservative movement. She makes decent conservative women squirm. What she's arguing is that a Jew is an unevolved Christian. I would say to her, maybe you are a Jew who's gone astray from your true religion, Ann. Maybe you ought to become a Jew. Maybe you were mistaken when you don't even understand that Christianity was a sect of Judaism that evolved from the Essenes, which was also a Jewish sect. I mean, wouldn't that be offensive to Christians?
She is offensive, and I'm in agreement.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, but look, whether she's offensive or not is one issue, but the fact that she would do such a vile thing as this, to draw attention to her skanky self, to sell a book, is the real issue. For 1,000 years, the elements of the Christian people who were violent, and it wasn't all the Christian people, usually preceded their attacks upon Jews with the very same rhetoric that Ann Coulter used last week on that cable show.
Nancy Pelosi.
So it's language. You remember that words are very powerful, John, and words can lead to other acts. And, you know, I've studied racism for many, many years. Usually racism doesn't come out of a vacuum. It's preceded by intellectuals who make statements that are not challenged. And for Ann Coulter to make a statement that Jews are unevolved Christians is saying that Jews are what, 4/5 a Christian? So what would that make a Muslim, a 3/5 a Christian? What would that make a Hindu, a 2/5 a Christian? And what would that make so forth and so on? Who the heck is she to sit there in judgment? That vile skank is my position. So there it is. I did it last week. I don't want to do it again. But let's go back to the turkey thing, which is much more important than some filthy skank peddling a book. Nancy Pelosi is trying to rub the current current government of Turkey, rub their noses in something that was done about 100 years ago, almost 100 years ago, by a previous government. So now what has happened? Turkey has taken a step toward invading Iraq. The Turkish government will seek parliamentary approval for a military operation against Kurdish rebels in northern Iraq. And so there it is, already strained relations with Washington, which is exactly what Pelosi and Lantos intended to do. They figured they'd get a twofer out of it. They would both win the Armenian vote, because the Armenians tend to be conservative, by the way. They're not all liberal, okay? The Armenian people tend to be conservative because they know what Islamofascism has done to their ancestors. So she figures by appealing to the Armenian people, she'll win votes. That's number one. Number two, she appeals to the American Trial Lawyers Association, at the same time who want to sue Turkey and take out billions of dollars like the vultures they are. And number three, she undermines the troops in Iraq and might cause a withdrawal of troops. So this is a disaster, is the whole point. You know? What do you want to talk about? Anytime. We're in Turkey, the skank. I'm not going to let her get away with it. What I found amazing is the leprechaun let her get away with it. Two websites that I read on a regular basis let her get away with it because they're co-religionists. And I'm warning you, I'm warning all of you, that if you let a fellow traveler get away with this kind of vile racism simply because you use her and sell her books on your website, you are no better. You are no better than that skank.
Savage.
expect the changes to be when the with the relationships with people all around the world when the person at the helm has a lot less testosterone?
Well, you know, I've been asked a lot of things. I've never been asked that before.
I got to turn it off. That just what the world needs is a feminized, homosexualized America. Just in time for the coming next wave of Islamofascism. Just in time. Just perfect timing. You want to talk about a perfect storm. Just what America needs is a feminized, homosexualized America. It's not bad enough now. We need to now go down the tubes a little bit further. You know, last night I was saying to myself, well, you know, maybe it's time for me to get off the stage and blah, blah, blah. Then I thought about something and I said to myself now, I said, I think I'll tell my audience the following, which is that I've thought about walking off the stage of the media and let someone else deal with this for the next few years. I said, but God, I don't want to miss the fun of watching this country fall into the feminist maw even more completely than it already has. I don't want to miss the fun of, let us say Hillary wins, God forbid, of the homosexual agenda taking over even more of the American mindset. I don't want to miss any of that. I want to be around for the fun. I want to watch this country decline even further, and I want to see the Democrats continue to blame somebody else for what they've done to this country. This is an example of what they're doing with the Armenian vote right now. They're doing it specifically to embarrass George Bush, to undermine the war effort because they can't get the votes to do it, and they would do it by all means, by any means necessary. By any means necessary, they're taking the most unbelievably undermining action at the worst possible time. So go ahead. I'm going to stay around. I want to watch what happens with a feminized, homosexualized administration, that wherever you turn, there's going to be constant brainwashing. I can't wait to see Christians attacked in America. I can't wait to see priests put in jail for expressing the Ten Commandments. I can't wait for any of these things. I can't wait to see free speech outlawed under the guise of fairness. I can't wait for any of these things. And that's all coming if you elect this woman. I mean, we know who she is. We know who she is. We had 8 years of Big Sis as a miss. We had 8 years of Donna Shalala. We had 8 years of Janet Stirner, who incinerated 78 men, women, and children in a church because they were not rich and got away with murder, virtual murder. We had 8 years of these people. We know what she's going to bring to this country. You don't remember those years? You don't understand it? So I intend to stick around. Illegal immigrant picked up for shooting cop in Phoenix, Arizona. An illegal alien from Mexico, previously had been deported, is being ordered held without bond for allegedly trying to kill a Phoenix police officer. 35-year-old Jose Abel Cabrera is accused of shooting the officer after being pulled over in Northeast Phoenix for running a stop sign. Bulletproof vest saved the young man's life. He returned fire. But when they found this bum, this illegal alien bum, in his pickup truck, there were two bullet holes in the rear window by the cop. He claims he wasn't driving the car. He said he lent his pickup to someone he didn't even know. I guess he was speaking to the boys from NYU who now have invaded Phoenix in the ACLU. FBI monitoring Al-Qaeda activity in northern New Jersey. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is monitoring a number of northern New Jersey residents with ties to Al-Qaeda. Now, why don't they just take them out, arrest them, and put them in a holding tank? Answer, ACLU won't permit them. Unless there's a body bag, the FBI can't do their job. See, they're waiting for a dirty bomb to go off somewhere in America before the FBI can do anything. Why? Because, again, the country is right now run like an Alice in Wonderland. The Lilliputians have hamstrung even the FBI. Your security hangs like a loose tooth. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com has all the stories that I try to get to, but you only want to talk about this, and I understand it. This thing is a very important story, so we'll continue to talk about that. Let us go to Chicago. Frank, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the genocide of the Native Americans, I think, is more important than the Armenian issue at this moment. I think that Nancy Pelosi should recognize that first and then move on to foreign forms of genocide.
I understand that, but there was a genocide against various Native Americans. However, I would say that they've already had their compensation in the form of a massive welfare state and the Indian gambling. Wouldn't you say that's sort of a compensation unto itself?
In a manner of speaking, we could also move on to the Protestant genocide of the Amish in early American history, in pre-colonial days. There's many, yeah, many forms of...
Well, I understand, but do you agree with me that Pelosi doing this against Turkey right now has nothing to do with humanitarianism? It's all about undermining the troop effort, the war effort?
Could be, but I would say that that is... a little highfalutin and extrapolative of us to say that at this moment.
Well, if 70% of the supplies that go to our troops come through Turkey, would you not be surprised to see Turkey cut off using Turkey as a transit point? And what if Turkey did that? Didn't Nancy Pelosi think this through?
It could be a backdoor. Yeah, she should think it through, because right now that is our supply line.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Shouldn't she have thought it through? Wouldn't you expect that of a Speaker of the House? To say, well, wait a minute, if I do this, this might happen? Sir, I want to remind you that, again, even liberals such as William Cohen, former Defense Secretary under Clinton, and eight other Secretaries of State have said this is a bad idea for right now. Listen to clip 36 again. Thank you. Go ahead and play it.
I have written to her. I've joined with former Secretary of Defense Frank Carlucci and former Secretary of Defense Bill Perry. Again, this is not a partisan issue. If you look at the Secretaries of State, from Secretary Albright, Baker, Powell, and others down the line, eight of them have said this is a mistake to go forward with this. So what we would say is basically what we've said in the letter. There are ways to certainly honor the sacrifices and call attention to the killings that took place, massive killings that took place during that period, 1915 to 1923, but place that in the context of what it means in terms of going forward into the future from today, in terms of what it will do to our troops. The consequences are too severe, I think, for this.
Yeah, all right. Well, even a Democrat can see through this, but apparently Nancy Pelosi is so, let us say, blinded by partisan politics that she wasn't thinking. I think I've made my point. It's enough already. John in Chicago, on a different topic. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to say that the skank is wrong, because Jews are not Christians at all. And frankly, I'm kind of surprised that you have a problem with that.
I'm not quite sure what you're trying to say, sir, so elaborate a little further before we go in the wrong direction.
Sure, no problem. Yes, Jews, Christians rather, believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, and that Jesus Christ is one with the essence of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's something that, I mean, that's an essential doctrine of Christianity that certainly Jews do not hold. So I don't understand why you have a problem with Jews not being called Christians. I mean, frankly, I think that she was wrong saying they're unperfected Jews or Christians, or however she phrased it, because, I mean, the fact is, right, they're not Christians at all because of that. The rejection of that essential Christian
doctrine. Well, of course they're not Christians at all. They're Jews. But Ann Coldheart was peddling a book, and as in the true form of any skank on television, she would do anything, even commit an egregious act of racism such as this, in order to peddle another book. But I really don't care about Ann Coldheart. What I'm trying to say here is something a little different, which is that for 1,000 years, Jews were rounded up, persecuted, put into ghettos, because bigots like her used to laugh about Jews and say they're imperfect Christians and things of that nature, which opened the door to drunken louts splitting their heads open with axes or setting synagogues on fire.
No, I understand what you're saying, that people will take any kind of differentiation among groups and make a big deal.
Yes, or let's say the parochial school thugs would say, "You killed our Lord," and then beat up Jewish kids under the guise of being Christians. That's more or less left our country by now, John, that kind of behavior and thinking. And to think this kind of primitiveness would come out of her mouth, of all people. As I said last week, if David Duke had gone to Russia and had a sex change operation and came back, what came out of Ann Skank's mouth would have been the same as what would have come out of his mouth. That's all. And she hasn't admitted her mistake, because she doesn't have the capacity to admit a mistake. Shirley in Atlanta, you're on the Savage Nation.
I believe she does have the capacity to admit her mistake, and she will, because if she is a true Christian, she will admit her mistake. Because
she hasn't admitted it. She continues to drive even further into the mud. She's spinning her wheels in the mud, and I'm frankly shocked at the people in the so-called conservative movement who are not seeing this for what it is. And I know why. It's because either they use her as a guest because they think that by opening and closing her legs on television, the ratings go up, or they sell her books on their website. But they're wrong as well. Thank you for the call. I don't even want to talk about the skank anymore. Ann Coldheart has to live in her own hell, and it's a hell of her own making. Honolulu, Lisa, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Okay, before I tell you about my opinion on this whole turkey thing, I really think you need to know that I have five members of my family involved in this war right now. My brother is there at Camp Warrior in the northern part of Iraq, so he would be in the middle of it if, you know what, broke loose. You're right.
You're talking now about Pelosi's blunder in trying to push forward a vote this Thursday condemning Turkey for something that occurred by the Turkish government 90 years ago, which could have ramifications, including Turkey cutting off us, allowing our military to use Turkey as a transit point into Iraq. So it would affect your relatives very deeply. So now what else are we going to say about it?
Well, I don't know what the resolution states. Would a suitable, not compromise, but could it be ameliorated somehow by having within the resolution the acknowledgement that this was under, as they put it, the Ottoman Turk? And that's and basically comment on how that's not what the government is today. Because actually, Turkey's government until the last election was quite secular, and now it's there's been this rise of, you know, fundamentalism.
Yes. By the way, but you're raising another point. Pelosi and Lantos and others are going to drive this moderate Turkish government, which is already fighting with the Islamists, virtually out of office, and it's going to flare up the Islamist movement in Turkey and further radicalize Turkey, which is our ally. I have never seen a bigger blunder in my life, a bigger political blunder in my entire life. Never. It's actually bigger than the invasion of Iraq. And the reason I say that is because the invasion of Iraq may or may not have been done by accident. Maybe Bush did have bad information. I don't know. But Nancy Pelosi should certainly think through the ramifications of such an act before acting at a time like this, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. The part of this that gets to me, an ethical person, I try to live my life in an ethical way, is that it's not, we're being manipulated into a position of having to, in effect, almost sound like Ahmadinejad does in Iran when he disclaims the Jewish Holocaust. People are going to flip it around and say, oh, look, that's no different. The Americans are condemning him, but look, they won't admit to, they won't back up the Armenians with the Armenian Holocaust. You see what I'm saying?
I can see your point of view, but again, it's a matter of timing. No one is denying the Armenian Holocaust. Ahmadinejad denies the Jewish Holocaust. That's a little different than denying this because no one's denying it. No one's saying it didn't happen, at least not here in America, by and large. Most intelligent people who have a modicum of education understand it happened. We're saying this is not the right time to pass a resolution like this.
True.
She's triggering the Islamists in Turkey. Turkey's a very moderate place right now. It's a very advanced country. It's like Western Europe in many places. But there's a tendency to try to drag Turkey into the Islamist strong network. If we attack the Turkish government now, as Pelosi's trying to do, for something that occurred 90 some odd years ago, it's going to radicalize the entire nation, number one. And number two, they're liable to cut off permitting us to use Turkey as a transit point for our troops. I have to keep saying it over and over again.
I agree.
Thanks for the call. Pelosi should think this through. They should withdraw this now. It's a disaster. It's an error. I can't believe we're still talking about this. I really can't believe that you know so much about it. I'm going to take one more quick call on this topic right now. OR in New York City, WOR. Chris, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I lived in Turkey. I was discharged in 70 from the military. I lived in Istanbul during the turmoil there. And Pelosi is a terribly corrupt person, and that the Turks are fiercely independent, secular people. They overthrew Ataturk, very important person, overthrew Suleiman, a terrible, terrible dictator and a religious dictator. And that Ataturk, Kemal Ataturk, was a wonderful person, and that he did not put up with Islamist fascism, and that's what they were up against. So that certainly I believe that the mix of things which has now been put in place, if the secular government is overthrown, it would be a disaster, an absolute unmitigated disaster. Pelosi should be put up for sedition. She's absolutely a seditious person. She's a traitor. She's putting our entire operation and our military men at risk, and she should be arrested on the floor.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. If she hasn't thought this through, then she's a clear and present danger to the survival of America out of her stupidity. But if she has thought it through, then she's a traitor. That's what I've been trying to get at. But she's not alone. Lantos. I can name 10 other Democrats. They're all far left Democrats. They're doing it to undermine our troops, and they're doing it to win Armenian votes. As you know, Armenians tend to be conservative, not liberal, because of what they went through. They know what Islamofascism can do, and they tend to vote with the Republicans.
Suleiman was a fascist.
See, this is very important. I knew Armenian people. You know, many of you don't understand that. I don't know Armenian people right now, but I've met Armenian people. By and large, they're very conservative. They're Republican people because they know what appeasement can do. They tend to side with a strong government that will stand up to Islamofascism because they remember what the Ottoman Turks did to their ancestors. So this is a naked attempt on the part of Pelosi and Lantos to steal votes for the Democrats, throw money to the greedy lawyers, and to undermine the war effort. I'll be right back. Look, this story just came out. There's been shelling over the weekend. The Turks are now shelling northern Iraq. What happened here is Pelosi and the Democrats have literally opened up another front in the war in Iraq in order to further, let us say, undermine our war effort. How else can I put it? This is traitorous activity. Residents in northern Iraq called for U.S. intervention after officials said artillery and rocket fire struck hillsides near villages in Iraq's border area with Turkey. Iraqi Army Colonel Hussein Rashid of the Border Guard Forces said Turkish troops fired more than 250 artillery shells and at least 10 missiles on three areas inside Iraqi territory. So Pelosi triggered this. Do you understand what the Democrats have done here? Now you say, well, oh, they didn't mean it. How do you know they didn't mean it? You're telling me that a conniver like, what's his name, Lantos, wouldn't figure this out? That conniving thing? Lantos couldn't figure out what would happen when you start threatening the Turkish government with such a resolution. He knew what consequences would result, and he wanted to trigger this artillery action by the Turks against the Kurds in order to undermine the war effort because he couldn't get the votes to do it in Congress. He is a traitor, damn it! And they should not vote on this on Thursday. The Turkish military said that its troops have heavily responded to armed attacks from northern Iraq and will continue to do so, but did not give details. This is getting crazier by the second, that we have such an out-of-control government. Yes, Bush has very poor ratings, but Pelosi and company have lower ratings. Yes, Bush has low ratings even in Nevada, but would you believe Harry Reid has lower ratings in Nevada? Would you believe this? That the people of Nevada, their own senator, they rate lower than George Bush? Don't you see the American people understand exactly what's going on? They may not look as though they do, but they actually do know it. It's hard to know this. I admit it. I drive around and I see people all I talk about is sports, inanities, incomprehensible rubbish. Or the other night after the show, I went to a cheap Indian restaurant in Sausalito and a bunch of morons were talking about global warming and Al Gore is a genius. And I said something, it almost turned into an altercation. It was a nightmare to listen to such stupidity, such rubbish. They wouldn't know evidence if it presented them in the face. The same thing here. You got clear and present evidence that Nancy Pelosi and Tom Lantos are going to trigger another war in northern Iraq. They should be arrested for sedition.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yeah, well, it was sold to America. Now it's selling America. Goldman Sachs seems to run the U.S. government, planting former investment bankers into the Treasury Department and in other places so that they can then sell off America's infrastructure piece by piece. The lead story today is this headline. Goldman Sachs runs U.S. government, wants to sell top security computer business to the Chinese military. Now, you may say I'm engaging in hyperbole. Yeah, I'm engaging in hyperbole. Why don't you go rely upon some PR agent that they hire, some pimp from Boston University or some pimpette from Brown University, who's going to tell you that it's good for America to sell off a computer firm that builds firewalls to prevent the Chinese military from further invading our Defense Department computers. Go ahead, go listen to one of these sellouts, one of these smart orgasm seekers, and see where you end up. I've never seen anything like this. Here's the headline. Several Republican members of Congress yesterday called for a Treasury Department probe into whether Pentagon computer networks will be compromised by the merger of a U.S. network equipment maker and a Chinese firm with links to Beijing's military. Now, you read the whole story right to the end, and the important thing is coming up now. This is supposedly going to be reviewed by a shadowy group called CFIUS. CFIUS is the same front group that was supposed to oversight the sale of the Dubai port security and basically rubber stamped it, because all of the people on CFIUS, without exception, are paid fronts for the moneyed interests that want to simply look at the bottom line, not at national security. So if you read the entire story to the end, which I do for you, because that's the, you know, what you pay me for in essence, I want to read this to you. Governmental officials concerned about this deal have doubts about a Treasury Department review because Mr. Paulson, who is our Treasury Secretary, is a former executive at Goldman Sachs, which is advising the 3Com on the deal. White House Chief of Staff Joshua B. Bolton also was a Goldman Sachs executive. Now, I ask you, what chance do we the people have if people at the highest level of government who are told that their sole job is to protect us, protect the Constitution, in fact, are the sheep inside the hen house? They're selling it out to the communist Chinese military. You want me to make it a little more clear for you? I'll make it very clear for you. I'll do a pantomime. The Chinese military has been hacking our Defense Department computers for a couple of years now. They have contests in communist China, Dianne Feinstein and Richard Blum. They have contests amongst your friends to see who can hack better into our Defense Department, Dianne Feinstein and Richard Blum, and the others amongst you who have no soul whatsoever. You care nothing about your children and your grandchildren. You'd sell the gold out of their teeth if you could. You'd sell the gold out of the gold teeth if you could make another dime to aggrandize yourself with. You're more drunk than the ancient Caesars. You're drunk on your own greed and power. And I warn you that God sees the truth but waits. I warn you, the people will not tolerate this one. So the communist Chinese military hacks our Defense Department computers with the ultimate goal to paralyze communications, for example, amongst our military, more particularly in our aircraft battle fleets. So that if an aircraft carrier strike group goes into the Taiwan Straits to prevent China from invading Taiwan, a hacker from communist China could paralyze the computer networks, listen to this, and prevent our ships from communicating with each other. In other words, render them a mothball fleet at sea. They would not be able to communicate with each other. They'd be useless. They would kill our fleet without firing a shot. Now, what does this have to do with Goldman Sachs, you ask? I'll go back to the main story. They're penetrating our Defense Department computers, but they can't do it sufficient to their willing to their ability. What they have, they're hitting stone walls, they're hitting firewalls, okay? And one of the companies that has created these firewalls is a company called 3Com. So the Chinese generals are very smart. What they said was, can't get through firewall? Buy firewall company. Take down firewall. Everything for sale in America. Buy out pimp. Pimp can be bought. Buy pimp. Pimp, highest level pimp. Buy pimp. So they go to the pimps. The pimps go from Goldman Sachs to the government. The pimps, of course, don't have any loyalty to the nation. The pimps don't have any loyalty to a nation. There is no nation to these pimps. Is there someone from Goldman Sachs who wants to argue with me and tell me where I'm wrong? Because if you do work for Goldman Sachs, this is your opportunity to defend your position. Otherwise, I can assure you there will be at least 1 million, maybe 5 million emails in the halls of Congress over the next 3 weeks. After that, they may look to see if they can try you for treason. So you better fuel up your jet. You better make sure that your dual passports are up to date. And you better make sure that your daughter's college tuition is paid up. Mark in Los Angeles worked for Goldman Sachs. Mark on KLAA, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm formerly associated with them. I've been in the stock and bond investment business for over 20 years, and I can tell you exactly why an executive from Goldman Sachs would go from the private sector into the government sector. These guys, besides their multi-million dollar salaries, get stock options. And these stock options allow them to purchase stocks or get them for free as part of their benefit package. And a very obscure law was passed not too long ago in Congress, which allowed these guys to exercise their options and take $100 million or so profit tax-free if they go from private to government sector.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was a payoff, which is very obscure, which the public is obviously not aware of.
Oh, my God. So you mean guys like Jon Snow and Paulson, by taking these governmental jobs as Treasury Secretary, were then able to exercise, sell their stock options and do it tax-free?
Exactly. Why would they that's a perfect way to retire. Go work for the government for a couple of years and get $100 million tax-free.
And tell me, which country are they going to retire in if this country disappears as an entity? Which country are they going to – where are their grandchildren going to live?
Good question. You might take another look at Goldman Sachs and look at their oil futures traders. Do you know that some individuals, several of them, were paid over $100 million in bonuses last year? They made.
Well, I can't comment on that because I don't understand the ins and outs of what that might signify. But I want to go to another step of this and stay on the line with me. The 3Com deal is very interesting in another manner. It's called 3Com Bain Capital Partners. Do you know who Bain Capital Partners is?
I've heard of them. I don't know them specifically.
Well, get ready because I want you people to hold on to your seats because what I'm about to disclose on this show is going to blow the lid off the Romney campaign for good. It's going to be the end of the Romney campaign. Are you ready for this? 3Com-Bain Capital Partners wants to merge with who, why, okay? The Communist Chinese Front Group. Bain Capital Partners. Former CEO and co-founder of Bain Capital is none other than Mitt Romney. None other than Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is the former CEO and co-founder of Bain Capital. He's involved in the 3Com sale, or is he not? Does he have anything to do with it? Is he opposed to it? Will he benefit from it? Is he opposed to it, or is he for it? I think that Mitt Romney, this explains why he would never come on the Savage Nation. He tries to appeal to the conservative base when people ask themselves, wait a minute, how could he be so conservative if he was governor of Massachusetts? You know, they don't understand how this could have been. Well, if you actually look at his background, he wasn't conservative. He was quite middle of the road when he was governor. Now you look even further and ask him where he stands on the 3Com Bain Capital would-be merger with who, why. Does that make sense to you, Mark?
Absolutely. You might look at Robert Reich as well. He was the manager of the BlackRock Fund, which is a multi-billion dollar fund. He went from private industry into the public.
Oh, Robert Reich was a fraud from day one. He espoused communism, New York, Brooklyn, linoleum 101, communism 101 rhetoric. He was the little dwarf that worked for Clinton and played these holier-than-thou little Marxist. Every day you see him on TV with his feet not touching the floor. I smelled a rat the minute he appeared. I know who he was.
Savage. We'll be right back.
turn when and if something terrible happens. Are you going to wake up and say George Bush caused all of this? Is that the liberal response? If, God forbid, something horrible happens in this country, something worse than 9/11, you're going to blame the Republicans, Bush, heterosexuals, white people, Christianity, Jews. Who are you going to blame? Well, you'll blame anybody but yourself. The American left doesn't even understand that it is the reason. It is the chief reason that Islam is at war with the West. And what's really amazing to me is that the people who have the most at stake in the battle against Islamism and the most to lose if Islamism wins, you, the progressives, so-called, you're the least able to fight it, the least willing to fight it. You're the ones who hate the Pentagon. You're the ones who hate the White House. You're the ones who hate the state capital, the national capital. You're the ones who hate Israel. And yet the F-16s that fly overhead are there to protect you from the Islamists who would cut your throat and throw you down a well. The very values of the West, 40 years of civil rights, gay rights, feminism, reproductive choice, that's abortion, sexual madness called freedom, the right not to worship if you don't want to worship. In other words, the Marxist left's wild dream is protected by the very elements that you hate in this country. You, the sexually unorthodox, you, the bohemian, you, the poet, you, the professor. You are protected by those F-16s. You are protected by the boys who go to church and went to church every Sunday. You are protected by the rock rib conservatives in this country who fly over your head, who are dying in Iraq for your sins. Civil rights, gay rights, privacy rights, abortion, sexual madness, the right to worship or not to worship. All protected by the boys from somewhere else who you spit at, who you sneer at, who you mock. They're the reason you're alive. And the reason they're dying is because of your sins. The verminous left, the Larry Flint left, as now adopted by the Democrat Party itself, the Larry Flint left is now the official party platform of the Democrat Party. I'm not fooling you. Everything that Larry Flint and his ilk stood for in the 60s and 70s has been adopted, if not overtly, then covertly, by the Democrat Party. They have accepted this debased, destroyed West, social West. They not only have accepted it as the norm, they welcome it. It's the Marxist dream, the death of the family, the death of heterosexuality. Everything that the left dreamed of has come to pass in this country. Hit hardest the black people. 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. The American left celebrate this. Celebrate this as a sign of liberation. That they have been liberated from the binds of bourgeois marriage. The Muslims saying, hell no, we won't go. You're not going to pollute our children. You're not going to turn our children into Jezebels. You're not going to turn our daughters into whores and our sons into homosexuals. We're not going to let you do it. We'll kill you before you do it. You're not turning our sons into little homosexuals. You're not going to brainwash our children. We will send them to Muslim schools. You're not going to turn our daughters into whores. We'll send them to Muslim schools. We're not going to let our daughters dress like Britney Spears. We're not going to let them behave like Paris Hilton. We don't like them. We think they're vermin. We think they're garbage. We don't care that they're held up as role models. We detest them. We hate them. We think that they're the most disgusting human beings on the planet. We'll not send our children. We won't even go to the movies. We won't turn on a television set. Incidentally, the Orthodox Jews have the very same view. So the American left, which is able to get away with these behaviors and sell these behaviors, is protected by the very, let us say, Christian right that they detest and sneer at in their F-16s, in their tanks, and behind their machine guns, if you wanted to put it in that crude sense. And, of course, they continue to not recognize that they have brought about Islam's rage. No, it's not Israel, per se, that the Muslims really care about. It's not territory. It's not land. That's what the left will tell you, that the Jews stole the land of the Muslims. That's the simple, archaic notion of the American left. It's that Israel's left-wing social premise and left-wing social freedoms that threaten Islam in the Middle East. They don't want it spreading. They don't want a homosexual parade down the streets of Damascus. They don't want a gay rights parade in Tehran. They don't want boys tongue-kissing each other in their nation's capitals. They'd rather die than let that happen. So they say death to Israel. They don't really know what Israel is. Israel's an idea. It's not that their grandfather's olive grove was taken. It's that their grandfather's purity was stolen by the infection of the West's social mores. And they don't want them in their villages. They don't want them in their homes. They don't want them on Al Jazeera. And they're not going to let you do it to them. No matter what the madmen who run these media empires may think, Islam will never tolerate the sewer pipe that comes out of New York City and the sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood's sewer factories will never penetrate the Muslim world, nor should they. But that's what's provoking Muslim rage. It's not so much what the Pope said. It's what Larry Flint did by hijacking the Supreme Court, in my opinion. And every other left-wing civil libertarian lawyer in America who every day goes about his business of destroying the Christian mores, the Judeo-Christian mores of this country with glee. What fun they're having, the boys from NYU. The bright boys from Columbia and NYU and Harvard Law and Bolt Law School, all of the lowest places on earth where they teach you how to defeat the other man without firing a shot, without cutting his throat. You can actually cut his throat. The lawyer learns to commit jihad without firing a shot. And he learns it at NYU, Columbia Law, Harvard Law. How to commit jihad without firing a shot. How to decapitate the enemy without picking up a rusty knife. Who was it who said that give him a fountain pen instead of a gun and he can steal more money? Well, those were the old days. Just give him a judge that he owns. Not all judges, of course, can be owned. Some of them are very reputable and great men. In fact, they're greater today, the honest ones, than they ever were, given the climate of the times and the lack of money that they actually, the poor amount of money that they make. My hat's off to the honest judges, and I've met a few in my life. They are the true heroes. They're like the social workers of the legal profession, the far and few between.
Savage.
Here's a special report with Jeff Kuhner exclusively for the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, our cover story in this week's issue of InsideMag.com, to me, is absolutely shocking, and I think it should alarm almost every American in this country. What we have found out is that the State Department has a special program to bring in minorities and especially Arab and Muslims from around the Middle East. It's called a diversity visa program. And this is something that is specific to the Middle East. It's a way to give outreach to countries in that area to make them see, to show to them that the United States is friendly to them, wants to bring in some immigrants from those places into the United States. What we have found out is that under pressure from the Saudi lobby, the United States and the State Department in particular has been keeping this program going, even though there has been rampant fraud and misuse of identity documents. And what this means, Michael, in plain English, is that hundreds of Al-Qaeda and Iranian terrorists very likely have been entering the United States for the last 4 to 5 years as permanent legal residents. They have been given legal status by our own State Department. And Congress has now gotten wind of this. They are literally up in arms. They are fuming. And the Government Accountability Office just came out with a report saying that the State Department's diversity visa program, as they put it, quote-unquote, is rife with fraud and rampant with corruption. And so what has been going on is that nearly 10,000 people from countries like Iran, like Sudan, like Saudi Arabia, many people with fraudulent documents that we now know have entered the United States legally.
Oh, it's that bad?
The question that we now have to ask ourselves is, to me it's the mother of all questions, how many terrorists who want to plant a dirty bomb, who want to commit terrorist atrocities on American soil, have been allowed through the State Department Diversity Visa Program? And more importantly, why did the State Department do nothing, absolutely nothing, in the last 4 to 5 years as report after report after report kept saying there were serious problems with this program? And, Michael, it goes back to a point that you and I have been discussing at length really for the last 6 months. The strength of the Saudi lobby in Washington cannot be underestimated. They have immense influence in Congress. They are gaining influence in the Bush administration, and they own the State Department lock, stock, and barrel. And so this is why you are seeing the State Department literally get us involved and implicated in programs that directly damage U.S. national security interests. And this program is as clear example as any. And so what we at Insight are now demanding is that either this program be substantially overhauled and profoundly reformed, where you have people on the ground who can actually do real checks, or what we would actually prefer is that the program be scrapped altogether. We feel it's not, we're not winning any friends in the Middle East by telling them there's a visa lottery that 10,000 people could apply for and become citizens of the United States. This is not changing the perceptions of the United States across the Middle East. But what it is doing is giving terrorists who we know have been forging false identities and fraudulent documents means of getting into the United States legally. They're not even illegal immigrants anymore coming in through the southern border, Michael. They are now literally legal residents of the United States. And so this to us is an absolute outrage, and we are calling on Congress and we are calling on the administration to end this program immediately.
What kind of government is this?
Well, the State Department is convinced that the United States has to make over its foreign policy. And in particular, they believe that everything is about public relations and public outreach to the Muslim community in the Middle East. So it's really, it's the centerpiece of what the liberals would like to do in terms of the war on terror. They believe that the way to deal with the war on terror is through law enforcement, through basically sending out a global police forces like the United States, or preferably through the United Nations, to target specific terrorists, and most importantly, to reach out to the Arab or Muslim street and show to these people that the United States loves them, embraces them, loves Muslim culture, loves Arab culture, believes in Islam as a religion of peace, and hence is willing to recruit people to enter the United States. The problem with that reasoning, Michael, is that it's not a question of appealing to the Arab or Muslim street. The question is that we have a large minority of people throughout the Middle East who are ideological fanatics, who believe that the Quran explicitly gives them the right to commit mass atrocities, mass murder, and to destroy Western civilization and create a world Muslim empire. So we can allow in 50, 100, 200, 300,000 Iranians, Sudanese, Saudis, Jordanians, you name it. It's not going to appease these radical extremists.
Where is this leading us?
The only way to deal with these radical extremists is to go after them, to destroy them, to declare war on them, and to go after the state sponsors that ultimately fund them, arm them, and back them. And that really means, in the end, Michael, there is no getting around this. We will have to confront the issue of Iran. And Iran is an issue. It is like Hitler's Germany in the 1930s. It is just there. It is getting bigger, bolder, and stronger every day. And what has been our response? Again, the State Department won out just a couple of weeks ago on that issue of Columbia University when Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad came to visit Columbia. It was the State Department that urged Bush to give him the authorization, to give Ahmadinejad the diplomatic authorization he needed to not just go to the United Nations, but to actually go to Columbia. And in the end, you know, these liberals who talked about academic freedom and freedom of speech and how proud they are that Ahmadinejad came to their university at Columbia and they were able to engage him in dialogue. And then you had President Bollinger, I thought, making a fool of himself, standing there and calling him a petty, cruel despot. In the end, you can call him names all you want. Ahmadinejad won a tremendous PR victory. He was lionized in the Muslim and Arab press across the Middle East. Literally, the term that they used, Michael, in dozens of newspapers was Ahmadinejad went into, quote-unquote, the lion's den and stared down the great Satan. We have given him more legitimacy. We have increased his standing. He now seems as the only guy who can come to the United States into the belly of the beast, as the radical Muslims see it, and stand there and speak for Islamic civilization against the dreaded West. So we are helping these people get stronger, more emboldened, and frankly, Michael, this is going to come back just as we appeased Hitler in the 1930s. It came back to haunt us with 50 million dead in World War II. The question I have for policymakers in Washington is a simple one. If Iran gets the nuclear bomb, how many dead are we going to face? They will wipe Israel off the map, and Ahmadinejad has said repeatedly he envisions a world without the United States. He wants to wipe us off the map and bring in an Armageddon and an apocalypse. So my question to policymakers is a simple one. We didn't stand up to Hitler when we could have, when we should have in 36, 37, 38. Why are we now waiting with Ahmadinejad?
Jeff, thanks for that update.
Michael, thank you very much.
Under the way of practical attainment. Here's another one. Tell me whether this applies to you. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Listen to this one. A man who chases after fame and wealth and love affairs is like a child who licks honey from the blade of a knife. While he is tasting the sweetness of honey, he has to risk hurting his tongue. He is like a man who carries a torch against the strong wind. The flame will surely burn his hands and face. People love their egoistic comfort, which is a love of fame and praise. But fame and praise are like incense that consumes itself and soon disappears. If people chase after honors and public acclaim and leave the way of truth, they are in serious danger and will soon have cause for regret. It's beautiful poetry, I got to tell you that, and it's universal in the sense that it crosses over to whatever your religious orientation may be. Even if you're an atheist, you can find these rules somewhat reasonable to live by, unless you don't believe in any rules at all because you're so wild and free, or we understand that. We understand that people who are not religious are just wild and free, and they're so progressive in their freedom and their liberation. As George Orwell said, he said, the more people chant about their freedom and how free they are, the more loudly he hears their chains rattling. A scripture that is not read with sincerity soon becomes covered with dust. Who does that sound like? You remember the stage Bibles of the Clintons? You remember that overly large Bible that they used to use on Sundays that was made for them in Hollywood on a Hollywood set? I mean, it was like 1.5 to 2.5 times the size of an ordinary Bible. The cross was so big you couldn't miss it from 100 yards away. A scripture that is not read with sincerity soon becomes covered with dust. A house that is not fixed when it needs repairing becomes filthy. So an idle man soon becomes defiled. Why do you think each nation, each people, and each religion had these writings? What is the purpose of any of this? It's their guidances. If you are just left to your wants and to your needs and what you moaning about, oh, I don't have this, oh, I don't have that, oh, I don't have an airplane, oh, I don't have a girlfriend, oh, I don't have 10 girlfriends, oh, I don't have a house in Aspen next to Dianne Feinstein, the war profiteer, oh, I'm not here, oh, I'm not invited there. You're gonna just moan and groan your whole way through life. So you have to understand that there are millions, tens of millions of people like you on the earth right now going through exactly the same moanings and groanings, and that you have to find your way out of it without taking a pill, without dosing yourself up on a bicycle ride. There's nothing wrong with taking a pill if you need it or taking a bicycle ride. Trust me on that one. But that's not the point. That shouldn't be your only way out of a problem. If man is anything, he's a creature of reason. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How do you define man? Man is an animal who reasons. I've seen that if you're a pure materialist. Let's say you don't believe in God or creator, so you're into mechanism. So you say, well, we're only animals. You have an animal body. But you have to admit that we are an animal who reasons. So therefore, if a man reasons or a man can reason, then he can think his way out of almost any problem that he puts himself in. All these problems, by the way, are temporal small problems, these wants and these needs. You know, you should, if you thought yourself into them, you should be able to think your way out of them. And so you can't do it on your own. You could try it on your own, but you're probably not going to be able to succeed. So that's when people start to turn to the scriptures, or they turn to the teachings of Buddha, or they turn to a religion, or they turn to Zen Buddhism, or they turn to what's this now? You see the people twisted up in studios all over America. What's that? Yoga. Half of them are ex-nymphomaniacs trying to control their bodies through various postures. I have sympathy for them. I understand that. But to me, it all looks like a burlesque when I look into a yoga studio. I feel like I'm from another planet. I bicycle by, I look in. I mean, it looks like a burlesque to me. If you're doing yoga, why do you have to wear a costume that shows your private parts to everyone in the room? Can't you do yoga wearing something that's a little more dignified, I ask myself? I mean, if it's purely for the spirit, to get control of the spirit, what are they wearing? A show-all pair of tights, and they're on their hands and knees. I just ask myself if it's what they say it is. So you have to find the answer somewhere else than in your own head. In other words, yes, we are creatures, and we are animals of reason, so we can use reason to get out of any hole that we find ourselves in. But we don't have to write the scripture to get us out of that hole. Let's go to the people who thought this through like 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago. We don't need some shyster who was on Oprah to get us out of it. He probably stole it from one of these books anyway and repackaged it. You may as well go back to the original guys who wrote this stuff. To conquer oneself is a greater victory than to conquer thousands in a battle. Think about that one. I can never understand that one. If a man's pointing a gun at you, I really don't have time for that one. Or if a man wants to do you harm, let's put it to you that way. I mean, still sleep with the doors locked and the alarm on and the gun's loaded with the dog's ears. I don't trust that much in it, you know. Now, here's the last one of this preachy stuff today. This is from the teaching of Buddha. And the reason I'm reading it is not because I'm a Buddhist, but because the poor people of Burma are. And so here's another one of the practical guides that perhaps one of them read. The duty of a ruler is to protect his people. How's that for a starter, Mr. Bush? The duty of a ruler is to protect his people. Many of us would say he is. Okay. He is the parent of his people, and he protects them by his laws. Well, when he says children's learn, we start to wonder what kind of parent he might be. He must raise his people, like parents raise their children, giving a dry cloth to replace a wet one without waiting for the child to cry. In like manner, the ruler must remove suffering and bestow happiness without waiting for people to complain. Indeed, his ruling is not perfect until his people abide in peace. They are his country's treasure. I love that one. The people are a nation's treasure. You hear what I'm saying to you? We are the treasure of America. You and I are the treasure of America, not the senators, not the congressmen, not the media pimps. We are the treasure of America. So they go and they say, therefore, a wise ruler is always thinking of his people and does not forget them even for a moment. Wouldn't you like to believe that? Wouldn't you like to wake up or go to sleep knowing that your wise rulers are always thinking of you and doesn't forget you for a moment other than how to deceive you and to fleece you? He thinks of their hardships and plans for their prosperity. To rule wisely, he must be advised about everything, about water, about drought, about storm, about rain. He must know about crops, the chances for a good harvest, people's comforts and their sorrows. You see that one? To be in a position to rightly award, punish, or praise, he must be thoroughly informed as to the guilt of bad men and the merits of good men. It's an interesting thing about rulers in here. And I don't want to read anymore because I think you got the picture. And that's why I've touched on various religious books. Doesn't mean you have to become the person. When you hear these people say that they're the wrong gender trapped in a body, for example, the current psychosis amongst the transgendered crowd is that they're a woman trapped in a man's body, so they're going to go to a surgeon to cut off their penis, for example. To me, that's total insanity. The doctor should be arrested for malpractice, and the person who thinks that should be given antipsychotic medication or put into a mental ward. Never in history has a man awakened and said, I'm a woman in a man's body. Never. This is propaganda. There may have been homosexuals on Earth from the beginning of time, and there will be homosexuals on Earth till the end of time. We understand that. But to say that you're a woman in a man's body, can't you just be a man who likes men? Why must you say you're a woman in a man's body? Where'd that come from? That comes from the psychosis of the psychiatric movement, who has convinced thousands of marginally sane people that they're a man woman, born in a woman's body. But just as I can read Buddhism, I don't have to be a Buddhist. I don't have to say I'm a Buddhist trapped in an American's body. You don't have to become a Buddhist to read the Buddhist tractates. You don't have to shift religions just to read the other religion's books. You don't have to say now I'm trapped in the wrong religion. You were born in a religion. That's the religion that's right for you. It's genetic. It's part of your genetic code. Your parents were that religion. And going back onto how many generations was that your religion? It's in your genetic code. It's encoded within your mind and your psyche, and you're never going to find peace in another religion. Never. Never. You're always going to be confused. You may find temporary peace by saying, oh, I am a Buddhist. You ever seen these Americans walking around? They don't even know what Buddhism means. They use it as a form of ego pride. To say. They're trying to show they're different than you, better than you, that they've evolved from, let's say, Catholicism into Buddhism. Now, the first teaching of Buddhism would tell you that you can't use a religion as a matter of pride, as the Iranian-Persian pimp did. He used his religion as a matter of pride. He was misusing his own religion. He was misusing his own religion by bashing us over the head with it, over the heads with it, and saying, the world will not be peaceful till you all accept my religion. Well, to me, that's the mark of a person who doesn't even understand his own religion. Can't pick up your religious book and say, you must be like me and you must follow my religion or there'll be no peace on earth. You're abusing your religious teachings. It's the opposite of your religion to do that. But nobody said that to him. Bush had the chance to do that in the UN. He's our leader. He could have gotten up there and he could have said 10 things that we would have remembered. He could have had somebody write a speech for him that said that we have a visitor to America today who is using his religion in a prideful manner, trying to tell us that unless we convert to his religion, there'll be no peace on earth. This is an act of a lowly man who is hostile to the rest of the world, and it has no place in the United Nations where humanism and humanitarianism should prevail, not threats. He could have said that. The world would have stood up and cheered. They would have said, what got into him? Who wrote that speech for him? Who is Bush's speechwriter? What has happened to the speechwriting profession? Have they all become webmasters and bloggers? Where are they? Does anyone write for this guy? And we, the people who are the true pride of the nation and the true treasure of the nation, are left without anyone at the helm. Who is at the helm? There is no helm at all. And that's where we sit today, and I'll be right back.
Savage.